shot. Oh, baby, what a play.
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I make some predictions about the 2023 NFL season, including whether the Chiefs make it back to the Super Bowl. But first, Joe, how cool was it to have Eric Stonestreet on our previous Believe in Chiefs pod?
Jeff, it was awesome having him on. He is such a Chiefs fan, and then you just couple in the fact that he's just an unbelievable Chiefs fan. You couple in the fact that he's an Emmy Award-winning actor with so many projects going on, who gives back to Kansas City, to the community, and has made it his home. And so refreshing, right, to have somebody like that want to join us. And what a great time catching up with him. And look, you can't help but be astounded by his love of offensive linemen, right? I mean, he just he loves O-linemen, and he talked about, you know, how he decorated his suite at Arrowhead with lineman themed pictures, and it just
including one of you, which is such a great story.
Yeah, that was a great kind of connection story on how I got to know Eric, and he's just a class act with, you know, I just wish him all the success in the world. He's just really kept his roots strong, you know, to the Missouri, Kansas City area. And you just got to love that. You know, you got to love that about somebody like that who's hit that kind of, the top of their game and achieved that kind of fame.
I was trying to remain stoic because Modern Family is really one of my all-time favorite shows, along with Seinfeld. Maybe the 90s era Simpsons, even Wings, was a little bit more of a niche show. But yeah, I mean, that was such a thrill. I could have spent the whole pod. We're trying to keep it Chiefs centric. I could have asked him about, hey, what happened in this episode and what this? And so really, yeah, my favorite part might have been his learning about that George Brett episode. His impression was hilarious and just how that came together. That really cracked
me. Yeah. Hearing that kind of back, you know, story on a plot line, right? And how they got George to do it and how he ended up there. I mean, I'm sure we could probably have him on 100 podcasts and not finish all the stories he could tell us about that. And that was Modern Family was must see TV for our family. I mean, that was an incredible family show. We watched it as a family. My kids loved it. My wife loves it. We all loved it. Absolutely. One of, if not our favorite, but you know, if not one of our favorite story, sitcom that we've kind of watched as a family through the years. So yeah, amazing having him on.
You talked about, it was a cool story how in his suite in Arrowhead, he has the photo of offensive lineman and the photo of you catching that touchdown where he's in the stands. I know it was for that Titans game. It was the Chiefs alumni game. Joe, were you kind of bouncing around from area to area there? Or did you watch like half the game in his suite? How did that go?
We watched pretty much half the game with him. Mm-hmm. We went up right around when kickoff, right after kickoff, mm-hmm. right after the national anthem. And then we basically stayed through the end of halftime and a little bit into the third quarter. So yeah, it was pretty much a solid half, because we had we did have other friends in town, and mm-hmm. we had folks that we had traveled with from Philadelphia. So we had some Justin Watson, you know, Penn connection folks we had to catch up with. So yeah, we had a lot of folks to see, but we did pretty much watch. Jen and I watched about a little more than half the game in his suite with his fiance Lindsay, and then Eric Fisher was in there watching the game. So I got to meet him, which was really cool, and got to meet some of Eric's friends. He gave me further stories about, you know, growing up in the area, and it was almost surreal, really, spending that time with him. It really was.
Does he get to, could you tell if, and I know it depends on, you know, probably whether he's shooting a movie or a show or something. Does he go to just about every Chiefs home game?
I think he does. I got the impression that he does. I mean, I think it would take a pretty, you know, sort of scheduling snafu for him to miss a game. I mean, he mm-hmm. seems like he just catches everyone. He catches a lot of road games, and you know, he's a true diehard. So yeah, I wouldn't imagine he misses many home games, and it'd have to be a very extreme circumstance for him to miss one for sure.
Chiefs fans out there, if you didn't catch the last episode, podcast was with Eric Stonestreet. He was so much fun to have on the show. So if you didn't check it out, I encourage you to go listen. And Joe, speaking of TV, he called you Joey Transitions, but I think maybe I'm going to do the transition this time.
There you go.
Hopefully to the level that you have done in the past. But you know, speaking of TV shows and TV stars, Joe, Wednesday, Netflix's Quarterback, starring Patrick Mahomes, along with Marcus Mariota and Kirk Cousins, will debut. Joe, you going to be watching this show?
Absolutely. I love all access documentary type stuff. Jeff, I don't know if you and I have ever.
Oh, I know from F1. You've
Drive to Survive. Hard Knocks.
I think I kind of knew the answer to this question.
Yeah.
But I still wanted to hear you spell it out. So
I do. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I love the all access stuff. And the fact that, you know, it's going to be great regardless of who they pick, but the fact that they picked Patrick and getting to see him, you know, go through whatever his days are that they filmed and how it's going to be. I'm just really excited to see it. Cause I think he's just such a class act. He's entrenched himself in the community. You know, Patrick's just one of those football players that, you know, you hope he retires from KC. I mean, he's built a real life there. I know it kind of went viral with the overview of his house. Don't know if you saw that. And, you know, there was some mixed feelings about that online. You know, people were like, oh, should we really be posting something like that? You know, or it'd be kind of easy to really find out where he lives and, you know, but, you know, I mean, look, technology, there's no way around it these days, you know, figuring out that kind of stuff. But, you know, yeah, just and so that kind of gave us a little taste of what this is going to be like, you know, plus the Coors Light commercials. You know, he's really had a great off season. He's just had an incredibly, you know, he's been ubiquitous, right? He's been all over the place. And yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting to see a slice of his life. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, you mentioned that the house should be interesting, that there is a lot of just the access should be really cool. There's a lot of stuff with apparently his family. I think that house is being constructed, the one you mentioned that kind of went viral. So we might see some of that, or it might be his old house. I think he used to live in Mission Hills. He understandably is moving to a place a little bit further removed that you can see how big it is. I mean, the guy, like, he can't live a normal life. He's got to obviously have something very private and very, you know, because everyone wants to talk to him. So that's going to be interesting.
But Jeff, along those lines, though, you know, that was something I've said before on the pod that Joe Montana really appreciated was the privacy that Kansas City Chiefs fans really give the players as far as, look, if Patrick Mahomes walking down the street going to a restaurant, people are going to gawk. So players have to get used to that, right? Just from being seen, you know, especially a guy like Patrick Mahomes. But I'll tell you, you know, that's one thing that really Joe Montana used to really, really, you know, sort of promote about living in the Kansas City area was just the fact that fans just treated him like a neighbor, which is really cool. And I'm sure it's probably the same for Patrick too, that, you know, he's just got that, you know, fan base that's going to let him live his life and, you know, give him a break and let him just be himself, which is really cool. And I wouldn't imagine Kansas City is any different today in 2023 as it was in 1993 and 94 when Joe Montana was there.
Yeah, it's a great area to be a star, and that you get that you are special, but that you do get left alone. I'm sure. Now, I think it is a little bit different that you know, Montana had the 2-year stint there. Mahomes has been here, or at least been a starter since 18, and it's been longer and stuff, whereas Montana was winding down. But Joe, I'm not trying to take away from your point, because that is a good one, that's what makes Kansas City unique. One of the things, at least. Some other interesting things about the show too, Joe, not only seeing maybe some of his house and some insider access, very cool that Patrick Mahomes actually asked Andy Reid for permission, who gave him the green light, you know. And also he joked about the fact that, speaking of his family life, you know, Patrick Mahomes has a pretty good reputation. He's always saying and doing the right things. There's going to be a lot more cursing, he said. He said he edited some of it out, but, you know, is he the competition? It's sports. That's so, yeah, it might be a little less PG version of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. You know, when those players get mic'd up, I mean, that was – I mean, here's a funny story. You know, speaking of that, here's a segue, right, back to transitions, right?
Joey transitions.
So when I was playing in the World League in 1992, I was mic'd up in a game, and I wore a helmet cam actually because they wanted to see the perspective of a lineman, but also what they were really interested in was seeing the perspective of a long snapper. Mm-hmm. So I had, you know, and those games were on cable network at the time. So mm-hmm. the World League was being covered by, I want to say it was like either the USA Network. It's hard for me to even remember this that far back. And since it was cable, they did allow the swearing and they didn't beep it out. And I remember like some of my family members being like, "And who are you again?" You know, after that, because I was mic'd and I had a camera on, and it was like, it was eye-opening to some of my family who, you know, I'm not, you know, in normal circumstances. I mean, you know, I can get blue with the rest of them, you know, with the best of them sometimes, but like in most cases, I really don't swear a whole lot, but for some reason you get in the battle and into the battle in the heat of the competition and I can turn it on. And like, there were people in my family who were like, "Wow, Joe, that was eye opening." So I'm sure it will probably be for a lot of Patrick Mahomes fans too.
That's hilarious. Was it just that particular game, Joe, or is just, you know, competition and stuff?
Just competition in general. You know, it comes out, you get heated, you know, you want to crack a joke, you want to say something to another player, you know, whether it's a teammate or an opponent, and you just let it fly, right? It just gets a little more loose out there. And you know, you kind of do forget that, you know, I've totally forgot I was on camera and that I was mic'd up, and I just forgot. And maybe if I would have done a better job of reminding myself, maybe I would have maybe I would have kind of tempered it a little bit, but I kind of forgot about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, go back and watch that tape, and you're like, "Oh man,
I would love if there was some record, and that would be so fun to watch."
Yeah, good luck getting those VHS tapes out of the archives from the 1992 World League season. So
those aren't just on trending on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
But rest assured, listeners out there, if you have children or whatever who are listening, we keep this very clean. This is a clean, toned down version of Joe Valerio, not the World League version that you're listening to.
exactly. And then hopefully you know you won't be hearing too much of the all access quarterback version of Patrick Mahomes either.
Well, Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup info for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting in your favorite casino and card games, available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Joe, getting a little bit closer to training camp, you know, still a little bit quiet in the offseason. But I thought this was a good time to kind of make some predictions. And we'll also do this when we get closer to the regular season, because a lot can change and still some guys unsigned, whether that's DeAndre Hopkins and Dalvin Cook or, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, a lot of pass rushers out there that I think the Chiefs could use. But Joe, as of right now in July before training camp, who's your final four, your AFC and NFC championship teams?
That's a great question. I mean, listen, Jeff, obviously, you know, it's you got to go with the Chiefs. Number one, out of the gate, I think they're going to be the number one seed. I really do. I think even though, you know, there's been some changes, coaching changes, different things like that, I still feel like coming out of the AFC, they're going to dominate the AFC. I see this team going 14-3. I see them, you know, kind of getting that number one seed, getting home field advantage. I really do. I mean, I could sit here and say, oh, it could be somebody else, and that would be, that'd be easy to do. But I really do, and I'm not just being a homer. I think they're gonna take the AFC and be probably even like the number one seed overall in the NFL. I see this year from an AFC perspective, I'm feeling the Bills this year. Mm-hmm. I just think they've done. I think Josh Allen's going to come more into his own, and I think he's going to have. I think he's going to have a real breakout season. I think he's going to have spent this offseason really fine-tuning his game and how he can use his skills to make the Bills team better. I think the Bengals are going to be right there behind him. So I think it's going to be Chiefs-Bills in the AFC Championship. I think the Bengals are going to be right there behind. I think Joe Burrow's got it. I don't see anybody else, really, to be honest, coming close to what those teams are going to be able to do. When you just look up and down the schedule, you look up and down the standings from last year, you see what and think about what teams have done this offseason. I have a feeling that they are going to be, you know, those are going to be the three powerhouse teams in the AFC, which, and it's great because they all, you know, they all play each other, which is great. So we've got that. Flipping over to the other conference in the NFC. Look, I mean, I know I'm a little bit of a homer when it comes to Philadelphia because I'm here and I grew up here. They were always my favorite team growing up, but I still think the Eagles are the class of the NFC. I think they had an incredible draft. I think they've done some things in the offseason to really improve their standing, and I think it's going to be the 49ers and the Eagles in the NFC Championship.
A rematch.
I think it's going to.
I think it's
going to be a rematch. I think the 49ers will be ready for that one. Obviously, they had, you know, it was rough. That was a rough game for them with injury and everything. I mean, playing with their, you know, eighth string quarterback at some point, mm-hmm. right? I think they were pulling people out of the stands, their old gym teachers and stuff coming out to play football coaches. But those are the five real, you know, class teams. I think the Vikings are a little bit of a paper tiger. I know they finished. I think. Well, go ahead, Jeff.
Oh no, I was just agreeing with you. I think so too. And without Dalvin Cook, I think they're. I mean, that's a big loss. I know.
Yeah.
Alexander Madison's good too, but I think I agree. I think they're going to take a step down.
The Vikings. And I don't see anybody beyond. I don't see anybody beyond the 49ers and the Eagles right now. I mean, you know, I mean, the Cowboys. Every year, right? It's supposed to be their year, and you know, they just can't seem to get it done. And, you know, I don't think Cowboys fans can really bank on, you know, on them right now. And, you know, I think the Eagles have done so much in the offseason. So I would even go as far to say that I really do. And look, I know it's, you know, it's only July. We haven't even, you know, finished, you know, I think they have one more OTAs, or are they done all OTAs around the league? I mean,
all's done till training camp.
I mean, so it's still early. But I see an Eagles-Chiefs rematch in the Super Bowl. I really do.
Boy, would that be fun. How good a game that was. And the Kelce, can you imagine? Donna Kelce is going to be a bigger star than anyone.
My gosh. She's going to be the one on hosting Saturday Night Live this time.
Yeah, right? Joe, so for my prediction, I'm also going Eagles 49ers because I just think I thought about it a lot of different ways. And they're just – the NFC is just not as – There are more good teams in the AFC than there are in the NFC. So I those teams, the Eagles and 49ers seem a step above everyone else. I agree the Cowboys talent-wise are kind of up there. I just don't trust them. They always seem to lose the big games. And as far as who wins between the Eagles 49ers, that one is I'm kind of this is a little bit of a cop-out, but like the 49ers, it's really tough to evaluate how good they can be until you see Purdy's health and, you know,
right.
does Trey Lance have to play some? And if so, how does he go? Just for variety's sake, though, I'll go to the 49ers. They'll have a full year of Christian McCaffrey. You know, he was such a boon to them late in the season last year. And I think that, you know, they've got to be – You would think they've got to be healthier at the quarterback position despite all the question marks. So I'll, just to be a little bit different than you, I'll take the 49ers, but I might be reevaluating that one. In the AFC, also going with the Chiefs. I think they're the, you know, not trying to win over any listeners. It's more that I just think they're the best team with the best quarterback and the best coach. But Joe, I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball who they might play. I think the Bengals are still really good, but I think the Bengals could take a mini step back. I think losing both their safeties, Von Bell and Jesse Bates, who are really, really good, and part of the reason they, I think, matched up so well with against the Chiefs, they can move those guys around. I think that's a big loss, and I think their division is really, really tough. Similarly, I was debating whether the Chiefs would play the Bills, who, like you, I think are going to have a really good year. I think they've made some nice – I think they had a nice draft. I think Dalton Kincaid's going to be really good for them. I like what they did. Damon Harris, I think, could help in the running game, maybe a little less pressure on Josh Allen. They've had some nice under-the-radar signings. Leonard Floyd I really liked, even Cameron Dantzler in the secondary. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs versus the Ravens. I know that sounds weird, but I actually think the Ravens, if Lamar Jackson is healthy, he's been banged up of late, the contract, he's got that worked out. I think they're a really dangerous team that's finally got, they've finally got more weapons for them. They drafted Zay Flowers, they got Beckham, Bateman should be coming back, so that's suddenly a decent receiving core. Their defense, they were struggling so much without Lamar last year that kind of went under the radar, that their defense finally came back to kind of the Raven standards. Roquan Smith was great for them and is such a good player. I think he'll really be good. So, you know, just so it's not all chalk, I think they're going to be a team that makes a step up, and I could see them, making it all the way to the AFC Championship game.
I like it, Jeff. And you know what's the nice thing about this, right? What's that that internet phrase? Now we got the receipts.
Yeah, right.
So now we can go back and we can take a look and laugh at ourselves for the predictions that we make and sort of how you do it. That's the one thing about, you know, used to be a little different with like live radio. If you had a talk show or something, right? People, not a lot of people out there recording on, you know, cassette tapes, you know, your recordings of a show. But man, podcasts are so easy to go back and, hey, let's go back and take a look at that July podcast that we did. We talked about it, and that'll be fun, right, to think about, because that's what sports is all about, right? You get to look at all this stuff all the time, right? And you have access to technology and statistics that we never had before. You got stuff that happens each day in the news and things that are, you know, happening with moves and trades and pickups, and it's just really fun. It's really fun to be able to do that. And that's what you got to love about sports. I mean, you got to love that it's every day is a news day, and you know everybody's got their. Everybody gets entitled to their opinions of who they think is going to be. And I don't disagree with you at all there, Jeff. I think the Ravens are really going to have a year if Lamar stays healthy. You're right. They've picked up some pieces to give him some weapons, and I think it. You know, they could come out of that division, you know, smelling like a rose, given that everybody else is going to like beat each other up, kind of the way we thought the AFC West was going to be a while back.
Totally. Yeah, no, I think it's a very realistic, intriguing choice, and one that I'll probably completely change when we do this again.
Yeah.
We'll see
yeah.
if I have the, what yeah. my convictions look like. Joe, so now we both have the Chiefs picked. Give me one reason the Chiefs will be back in the Super Bowl and one reason they won't.
One reason they will be back. One reason they will be back is Patrick Mahomes. I think he's just got it. The reason they wouldn't make it back, Patrick Mahomes. I think they've got a great team around them. Don't get me wrong. They've done a lot of things to put some puzzle pieces in play to have, you know, a top tier NFL team. But at the end of the day, if he plays, they will win. If he stays healthy, they will win. If he doesn't, it's tough. It's tough to put that unique of a piece into a puzzle and make it work. And I just don't think there's really any substitute for him right now. You know, their system is built around him. I just think he's the key. He's the key.
Basically his health, whether he can stay injury free is really kind of determining the fact, which is so often for every position and everything in the NFL.
It
comes down to injuries.
Yeah. But if he doesn't, you know, but if somebody else gets hurt, their chances go down a lot less than they would have if he got hurt. Which is unlike other teams.
Totally. Yeah. That.
Right, how about you? How about you, bud?
The logical answer. So I say the one reason the Chiefs will is I actually think the Chiefs might be better, should be better than they were last year. Like last year they use this as such a motivating force that, you know, not that people thought it was going to be a rebuilding year. Anybody who thought that was silly, but I did think maybe they'd take a step back. They were so young. They had so many rookies. I mean, their secondary was, the cornerbacks were almost all rookies except for Legarius Sneed. So I think all those guys might be better. I mean, I think they should be better with a year under their belt. Pacheco's back. I mean, I think that that's the reason I thought last, you know, Sky Moore, all these guys, Kadarius Toney was with, not a rookie, but he was with the team half a year and still a very young player. So I think I look at those guys, I'm like, man, the Chiefs were the best team last year. And looking on paper, all these guys should be a little bit older, wiser, more mature, and better. One reason why they won't, Joe, we've talked about this before, and I now have it memorized that the last team to repeat is Super Bowl champions. So 2003 and then 2004 New England Patriots, because it's really hard. I just think that's just the fact that whether the team is the best or not, you probably would make more money, or you definitely would make more money predicting them not to repeat. It's so hard in the NFL, and not only the injuries you mentioned, but I think the mentality. I think the Chiefs will be even more hunted, and you know that you might get a little fat and happy. You're doing doing these, has these cool off-season things. They're such little celebrities. I think I think Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Kelsey, those guys are so driven despite all they have going on. But you know, complacency is a big thing when there are so many good teams. If I'm not saying they're going to be like complacent and fat and happy, but maybe enough so to when the differentiations between these teams are so small.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it is. And Eric Stone Street said it. Let's segue back to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a big, as a diehard Chiefs fan as he is, you know, that was something that he said, right? That every team can win a game each week against, whether you're going into that game 0-14 or you're going into that game 14-0. If two of those teams are playing each other, guess what? An 0-14 team can win any week, any given week. So, yeah, I mean, that's the nice thing. The one thing you touched on, Jeff, that really, really hit with me and resonated was the fact that the rookies that they had last year have a whole nother year, because that was a heck of a rookie. That was a heck of a rookie class that made a lot of, you know, very valuable, you know, contributions to that team. And I think with one more year under their belt, that's going to be, I think, one of the determining factors too, along with obviously my original answer of Patrick Mahomes is the further year development of their younger players who were already making big contributions. So, and that's huge in this league. You know, you get that extra year under your belt, man. Whew, you know, it's pretty amazing. You know, the amount of development that happens. It's a little bit of a hockey stick, you know, effect, right? You have that flat, and then man, that it just, when it takes off, it takes off. And I think this is a group that's definitely going to this team's going to benefit from that group's further development this offseason.
it's a fun exercise, Joe. And we'll definitely do this again when, you know, we'll have even a better idea, as much as you can ever have an idea when in the National Football League. But we'll have a better idea once, you know, there's going to be some, before the season, there's going to be some major injuries, we know. There's still going to be some major signings and things like that, some events. So it'll be fun to kind of follow up to see how things look, you know, late August, early September. Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Go Chiefs!